We're back for the Wednesday Crunch. We've got the CEO of the Collingwood Football Club, Gary Pert, with us. Nick Maxwell is always here on the Wednesday as well. Gary, you've been following what's been happening with Adam Goods just of late. I know it's not going to happen this Saturday, but if the Collingwood Football Club was scheduled to play Sydney at the MCG 2 o'clock on Saturday, what sort of stuff would you have, I guess, what sort of a message do you have for your supporters, or what sort of a role do you have as CEO to make sure we don't see a mess?
Well, Marco, if I keep it really simple, is I suppose I look at it, and right at the moment, I'm still not even sure of the motivation that sits behind why people are booing. And I'm hearing so many different views of why they're doing it. And I think there's a chance that some of them are doing it just to join in. And we are talking about one of the most decorated players in the competition. And I look at it really simply. Is booing and that emotional activity going to happen in the crowd at different times, whether it's the players or the umpires? I think it's going to happen. But this is a sustained program of booing, and we've actually got the player saying, this is offensive and it's upsetting me. So to keep it general, I'd say any behaviour that is deemed to be offensive and ongoing needs to stop. And I think every club, including Collingwood, has just got to view it like that, and it's totally inappropriate. And like I said, I'm not saying during games, at the same time as we get cheering, at times we'll get booing as a one-off. But this is sustained and inappropriate, and it's not what we go to the football to see. So I would like to see everyone in the whole crowd start to appreciate the players and what they do, and all that booing stuff should stop as of this weekend.
I agree in terms of the motivation. I think that that's irrelevant. I think we've spent too much time worrying about what the motivation is. If there is four or five different reasons why people are doing it, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's still affecting him as a player, as a person. It's affecting other players, and it's affecting people's ability to go to the football and watch the football because they are upset and they are offended by it. And in the end, our game is for people to come and enjoy it, no matter what culture you're from. I actually asked a question to a lot of the Storm boys yesterday. I said, what sort of, do you guys ever confront it with anything like this? And they're like, no, never. We've never had anything like it. And I know that their crowds are different, and there is Tongans and Samoans and Fijians and Kiwis and Indigenous, and there is a lot broader people who are watching and broader supporter. But at the same time, if he doesn't like it and people are being offended by it, I think it's time to stop.
Indeed. Gary, style of footy. I watched my mob, and they come up against your mob this weekend, Melbourne v Collingwood. Melbourne's footy has been stop-start, frustrating for supporters, and I'm hearing on the bottom line it's affecting Melbourne's ability to sell out the corporate seats to get, you know, the big dinners and the big luncheons and so on. The style of football, does it impact the bottom line from a revenue perspective?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt that AFL football, international sports, it's been proven that the style of the game will impact the amount of supporters that come along. It'll impact the media broadcasters, whether they actually want to televise your games or not, and that affects how much exposure your sponsors get. It has a spin-off effect right across the board. Now, I think you get away with it a little bit if you're playing a style that's not that appealing, but you're winning games. But certainly as a broad concept, and we've seen this far broader than just AFL football, the style of game, the way you go about it, what the supporters are seeing and how exciting it is, does actually have an impact on the particular club. But it'll also have an impact on the AFL as it attempts to compete against some very exciting sports that have international roots that have already worked this out and have actually got in place. You know, there's many clubs that when they recruit a coach, they don't say, now, what style of game you're going to play. They recruit the coach to play the style of football that that team will play. And that's already pre-established by the owners or the board that are in place at the time.
So do you forecast a day where we'll see that in the AFL? I mean, that couldn't be too far away. With some of the football that we're seeing played, can you imagine, you know, we've got a coach is being looked for at the Blues. Can you imagine a day when the CEO goes, hey, listen, we're looking for a coach to get things moving around here?
Yeah, I can absolutely see it. Now, I don't think you're going to see it like what most people would think, which is the board or the CEO going and telling the coach how to coach. But I think what you will start to see is boards and CEOs selecting coaches when they make their decision and going, that coach we know will play that style of footy. As a total club, that's exactly what we want. So we'll have on-field success, we'll have a style of play that's exciting, and it gets lots of supporters coming, it keeps the members happy, and from a television broadcast, all those different aspects. So I think in the selection of your coach, that's where it'll come into play.
So, for instance, Ken Hinckley wouldn't have too much trouble hanging his shingle at too many clubs, you wouldn't reckon, what he's produced at Port Adelaide.
Well, what Ken Hinckley has produced is on-field success, and even in those games where Port Adelaide hasn't won, and I know Keith Thomas well as the CEO, and he's told me their supporters still love it.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when they haven't won and they've lost some close ones, they still say, I love going to the footy, I love the way we're having a crack at it, and that style is something that's exciting for us. So it's already starting to play out.
Are you still in contact with Roosie?
Yeah, I catch up with Roosie. I'm catching up with him tomorrow.
Good. Please tell him that. Just want a little bit of flair. I want to just, don't lock it down. Just
not this week. Not this week. Wait till next week.
I'm not going to start telling Roosie how to coach.
Purdy, the next innovation in AFL footy, what is it? So is it the media rights still obviously coming up? Is it to do with social media? Is it the at-game experience? What is it that, without giving out too much information, what are the type of things that you're working on, the type of spaces you're working in?
Well, I think one of the biggest growth areas, and every club's slightly different, but Collingwood is a well-supported club, lots of members all around Australia, all around the world. There's no doubt for us, the innovation that we've been working on will continue to develop is our own media production and content production. And the reason we do this is because the broadcasters who are broadcasting the game and elements that sit around that, the supporters want far more. And the supporters that follow the big international soccer clubs and gridiron clubs, they want to see behind the scenes. They want to see from the club about injuries, about when players have signed, what they're doing in the pre-season, how are we seeing a particular player recover and what is he doing? They want to hear from the recruiting manager. They want to hear from the guy that's the head of sports science. And the clubs can take you very intimately behind the scenes. And this is what we run 5 panel shows now every week. One of them you host.
Most watched show on.
It is. It's a very well... the feedback on that is amazing.
Never
an
miss
interesting
it.
Thing. We actually have supporters from other clubs watch our shows and give us feedback that they wish their clubs gave a behind-the-scenes view of the club. Well, we've got 5 programs running this year. That'll be closer to 10 next year. And it's all because this is the supporters' club and the members' club. Mm. And whether you live in Dubai or New Zealand or living in the heart of Melbourne, doesn't matter. You need to have access 24/7, and they give us feedback on what sort of content they want. And now our players are really enjoying. In fact, they're actually coming up with the creative for their own shows and their own programs and content, which
is
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah.
In line with that, the press red for Ed was pretty popular. But on a serious note, would obviously in America it happens a lot because you got in an international, like in your own states and that. Would you look at doing a Collingwood game from Collingwood people, only for Collingwood supporters, just completely biased, to be able to actually tap into that?
We would love to do that. Mm. So there's no doubt...
Are you allowed to do that with the broadcaster
arrangements? No, there's lots of restrictions in place with the current broadcasters, which is why we're not doing it, to be quite honest. And some of the areas that we delve into or get special permission to do is some of the innovations you see. But we would love to be able to do that. And you know what? The reality is Collingwood supporters, if you're not a Collingwood supporter, you won't love listening to Ed commentate a game. And I listened to it. It was very funny and completely over the top. But Collingwood people, the feedback from that, or whether they're listening to Tony Shaw or Michael Christian or any of these great Collingwood people, they love it, so we would love to do more of it.
So how much value have you got out of leaving the Fox Footy program you had last year? And now, like you're saying, you've got 5 programs, 10 next year. It must be a no-brainer for you by the sounds of it to actually do what you're doing. And I mean, I love it. I get the emails and I watch all the shows when I'm sitting at work.
Yeah, and the Fox Footy show was very good, but it went out to people in Australia that had access to Fox and the program, and that was very limiting. And we had so many of our supporters say, we hear about it, we want to see that behind-the-scenes information about the club, And so now doing it through our website and literally giving Collingwood supporters all around the world, I cannot tell you how much feedback we get from people that are craving connection with the club, which are people interstate, people that are overseas or have got commitments and can't make it to the games. This is a really important connection, and we see it as a really key driver behind our push to get to 100,000 members. And we want to have membership engagement supporters right around the world.
And Barmy's finally loosening up too, I see. He's not as wooden as he was at the start of the year. Neil Barm's just warming into his role. I like it. What he's doing.
It was part of the deal when we put Barmy on. It's like we're an open access club and we want to see that from the director of footy. And oh, I agree, he's getting better and
better. He's getting much better.
Brisbane, the ex-CEO, Swanee, is up there and he's angling for a priority pick. Are Brisbane worthy of a priority pick, or do they need to sit down the bottom for a little bit longer?
Oh, look, again, I don't want to get into a lot of the politics of that, except I will say broadly, I think the AFL's got the game in pretty good shape right at the moment. I would say the majority of games we're going to now, we actually don't know who's going to win. Mm. And even those ones where it's most likely... quite a few of those times we've seen them flip the other way. So I think the game's in pretty good shape from a competitive balance on the field. Off the field, we've got some challenges. On the field, I think we've got it pretty right.
And we're hearing just a little bit of noise at the moment about perhaps another stadium in town, not down at Geelong.
A
little boutique stadium, 25,000-seater. Would you be in favour?
I don't think there's any doubt that having... 25,000 people roll up to the MCG and it looks empty. It looks bad from a broadcasting point of view. The club, the home club loses money. It doesn't work for anyone. So if we can find a small boutique stadium somewhere where it ticks all the boxes and we can play certain games, we're not going to play Anzac Day there and people can't get in. We've already got stadiums for that. But so many games are in that 30,000 and below. And it needs to be in a boutique stadium where the club, who's the home team, is actually making
and
money.
And it'd drive a bit of interest too, wouldn't it? You'd have to get your tickets early. You'd drive a little bit of, you know, hurriness to get involved.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of our suburban clubs, you've got to keep in mind, when they were playing at smaller stadiums, 15, 20 years ago, they were making $200,000-$300,000 out of a game. Now they get $35,000 into a stadium and they lose $50,000 to $100,000.
Not fair.
Those sort of numbers. And then we're wondering why clubs are going broke. It's not fair on those clubs because they're being told you have to play at this stadium and they roll up and they get all their supporters to roll up knowing it's going to cost them money. That's ridiculous.
What about this Saturday, really quickly? We just got to be wary of this mob. We just got to be wary of the Demons. I'm not sure about...
Cloak's not going to kick six straight again. Well,
Cloak won't
be
there.
Could be a tattoo on the face by Monday.
No. Well, yeah, if the Pies win, there could be a tattoo on the face. The face if the Pies win. What are your thoughts?
Look, we're under, it's sort of like a pressure game every game for the rest of the season for us. So there's no doubt to me that the players are going to be set. And like I said, we've got a good, young, eager team. We haven't got there the last few times. I think we're going to give it a really good show this weekend.
We want to lose six on the trot.
I'm confident we can win the last
so
six.
I am personally.
Gezza, thanks so much for coming in, mate, on the Wednesday Crunch. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
And Nicky Boy, we'll see you next Wednesday.
We'll do.
Thanks to Total Logistics Solutions, tls.net.au.